Good morning, everybody. The House State Affairs Committee will please come to order. We have with us this morning, we have Representative Peterson, Representative Seaton, Representative Grunberg, Representative Johansson, my Vice Chair, Wes Keller. And this morning, we have two items on our agenda. We have H.R. 11. It's a committee bill on military review of health care benefits, military retiree health care benefits, and H.B. 219, fire and emergency medical services. And I hope we can move both of these out of committee this morning. And
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to move version I as a working document of blank CS provided to us.
Okay. Without any objection for discussion, we'll be working in with the CS and H.R. 11. And with that, I'm going to ask Vice Chair Keller to chair the first part of this hearing on whatever the number is.
H.R. 11.
There's no, so there you are, sir.
Okay, thank you. So, Representative Lynn, go ahead and tell us about the bill.
Thank you very much.
It's a state affairs bill.
Thank you.
And for the record, Representative Wilson has joined us.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir. Representative Bob Lynn, District 31, South Anchorage. As with full disclosure, I'm retired military, and I'm a TRICARE medical benefit recipient. That's why I ask Representative Keller to chair this portion of today's state affairs hearing. I'm very fortunate when it comes to health care for my wife and I, because in addition to TRICARE, I have a state of Alaska insurance for serving as a legislator. I have Medicare because of my age. I sometimes call it geezer care. I make no apologies for any of my good health insurances because one way or another, I've worked very hard and earned all of them, especially the military TRICARE. Healthcare is one of the most important benefits of military service, and military healthcare is not welfare. This resolution is before you because the federal administration plans to jack up costs to military families and retirees by increasing TRICARE rates, adding enrollment fees, indexing fees to medical inflation, and means testing. It appears to be a plan to force retirees and others into more expensive alternatives and to establish means testing that would turn earned benefits into welfare-based handouts based on some bureaucratic determination. Again, military health care is not welfare. When I joined the military, I raised my hand and promised to defend my country, even in the face of mortal danger. And like thousands of other military people, I faced that mortal danger in Vietnam. In return, the United States of America promised me continued health benefits after a period of 20 years honorable service. A contract is a contract. The elements of military enlistment and the elements of a contract are the same. Offer, acceptance, consideration, legal purpose, mutuality obligation, like a meeting of the minds. Nothing was said about a means test sometime in the future. I think military folks passed a means test when they enlisted and when they were served honorably both in war and peace. H.R. 11, the resolution before you, supports continuing the TRICARE health care program as it is now. Repeat, as TRICARE is now. The United States of America made a promise to our military men and women when they raised their hand to God and swore to protect the nation with their lives. In return, they were promised that our United States of America would take care of them, and that promises, and that's a promise we must keep. In a March 3rd editorial to the Anchorage Daily News, Paul Jenkins of the Anchorage Daily Planet wrote, "We send the military to godforsaken back alleys all over the world. We pay them squat. We talk the talk. They and theirs walk the talk. We tell them, if you will offer us your lives and put your future in doubt, we will take care of you." Now, Paul Jenkins, most of you know, is a well-known Alaska conservative and a fiscal hawk. He is direct on target. His complete article should be in your bill packet. Yes, something does need to be done about out-of-control federal deficit, but we don't need to balance the budget by throwing our military under the bus. The administration's plan to renege on our military is obscene and it's disgraceful. It defaults on a contract between the Department of Defense and America's military. This resolution before you sends a message to those who need to hear it. I respectfully ask for your consideration and support and to move this HB 11 out of committee. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for indulging me.
We have Rick Davidge and Representative Sadler to testify, but before we go there, there are questions from the committee. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, you know, I mean, with Alaska having a high population of veterans and all, it's very important to us. However, on page 2, lines 3 and 4, I'm wondering whether the construction was meant this way. Page 2, I'm looking at the I version, lines 3 and 4. Okay. It seems that we're saying that those retirees who have served the nation during times of war and on armed conflict, okay, whether or not, and so I'm wanting to make sure that was the intention, that we're excluding military people that didn't serve if the country didn't happen to be at war, and I'm not.
I see what you're saying.
And I'm not objecting to the thought. I'm wanting to raise the construction.
And so, through the chair,
Representative Lynn,
we should perhaps send it to peace and war. Those who served, for one reason or another, were not involved in war, and there are many good people because you serve, whether you're at war or you're not at war.
And Mr. Chairman,
Representative Seaton,
I believe that the impetus of the bill is to say if you raise your arm and you swore your allegiance and you performed your duties for your 20 years that or more, that is the condition, not depending upon whether the nation happened to be at war or not. I'm not sure that we have a time frame in there, but I think that was why I raised the issue.
Good catch. And Representative Seaton and Lynn, when we get to committee action, if you would consider an amendment. Okay, any other comments or questions?
Silence?
Good. Silence is good.
Okay, let's start with Representative Sadler. He's in the room. Rick, I hope you don't mind. We schedule around here rather hectic, and I'm trying to set Representative Sadler free if he needs to be. So, if you would, state your name and give us your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the flexibility here. Mr. Chairman, members of the State Affairs Committee, I'm Dan Sadler, representative from District 18, including Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson and plus Chugiak Eagle River community in Alaska with 21% veterans per capita, which I believe is the highest in the state. We're very proud of that. I also serve as chairman of the House Military and Veterans Affairs Committee. And I'm speaking here this morning in favor of House Resolution 11, which urges the Department of Defense to forego intended fee increases for TRICARE benefits for retirees. I thank the chair for bringing this forward. The plan, as I understand, is to raise TRICARE fees for military retirees who are under age 65 and who are Medicare eligible. I always confuse those two. The increases are from 30% to 78% the first year, and then they rise over the next 5 years to between 94% and 345%, a pretty stunning increase. These increases are part of the DOD's efforts to cut $487 billion from their budget over the next 10 years. And parenthetically, if the Super Committee on Budget Cuts can't find someplace else in our multi-trillion dollar federal budget to cut, then DOD will be back before Congress looking for another $500 billion in cuts. And I don't think that military retirees should bear the brunt of these cuts. It's been said before, better than me, that service members make a promise to our nation, and in return, the nation makes a promise to them in the form of health care. It may not be the greatest deal in the world, but still, promise is a promise. And, Mr. Chairman, we should keep our promises. It's not clear to me yet whether the intent of these increased TRICARE fees is to force military retirees into the so-called Obamacare federal health care program. It has been reported, however, the administration's goal in these increases is to save money by discouraging military veterans from using their benefits by upping the cost. It's also been reported that these increases are not being assessed entirely equitably and fairly. They'll hit military retirees, but they will not hit the civilian employees of the Department of Defense. That's just not right, in my opinion. And in conclusion, I'd just like to, on behalf of my constituents and the veterans I serve in my committees, I support House Resolution 11 and, again, appreciate the sponsor bringing this forward in this committee at this time.
Any questions for Representative Sadler? Representative Gruenberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I rarely get into partisanship on this committee or the other committees I serve on. But it doesn't help the situation to use words like obscene and things like that. That's just name-calling. We should stick to the issues. And let's be frank here. Part of the impetus comes from people in Washington, and we all know who they are, who just want to cut the budget. Maybe this isn't the right way to do it. But the impetus comes from those who just want to cut the budget. And we all know that if they're going to have their way, there are going to be things like this that happen. And it's one thing to get into partisanship and obscenity and stuff like that. That's not my style, and I know it's not the style of the people in this legislature. We have good relations with each other. And I see this is just a House resolution. It's not even going over to the Senate, which has a different group in control, might get a different point of view. We don't have anything in the packet at all that indicates the reasons for these cuts. I don't know what they are, but I know we're only getting one side of the story, and this is only going to this one committee, and it sounds pretty partisan to me. And I'm sorry to say that, but that's the way I see it.
Well, first for the committee, any responses? Representative Sadler, if you'd like to respond.
I respect Representative Grimmer's comments. I have to say with a bit of a smile in my face that I worked for Paul Jenkins at the newspaper, and he is definitely a passionate person. And I believe those words, that word choice was Mr. Jenkins's, not the chairman's or mine. But yes, a certain amount of passion is brought to this issue. And in a position where he's writing for opinion, I understand his choice of colorful language. Don't necessarily support it, but understand it.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but I think it's very tough when I do my own bills, and I know when we do ours, to present both sides and have witnesses from both sides, because the public has a right to have both sides presented, and we may very well come out with exactly this resolution or whatever the piece of legislation is. But and that's more of a, maybe it's 8 in the morning on a Tuesday morning. It's cold and grouchy, but it's a way it was said in the spirit of constructive commentary, and I'll leave it at that. And thank you for letting me vent.
You bet. Another cup of coffee and a donut hole there behind you.
We're all friends. which we are.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure I'm not missing anything. In the resolution that we're passing, I don't see any of those words or any of that in the resolution we're passing. And I just wanted to make sure that we had it on the record that although a supporter of this may have had those words, we're not passing those words as I see it. Is that correct?
May I respond? Yes, and I support the resolution entirely, and I don't want the cart to drive the horse here.
Representative Lynn.
Yeah, thank you. And Amanda, another disclosure, I'm the one who used the word obscene in my opening remarks. I don't believe that word's in the resolution anyplace, I don't think it's Mr. Jenkins's.
Yes, it is. The headline says that.
Okay, well, I beg your pardon, but I also said it myself. And when we constructed this resolution, there was no intent to make it partisan in any way whatsoever, because the folks who serve in the military, both in War and Peace, they come from both Republicans and Democrats and no party at all. And when somebody, when you're under fire, you don't look at the buddy next to you and check their party identification. You're all in the same boat together.
In the Navy, that's true.
And also the other services. And also in the military.
And I really do support the resolution.
Representative Johansson.
I don't want to get sidetracked into my polemic either.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just in response to the grouchy member from Anchorage over there, it is a House resolution, and I wouldn't be commenting except for the fact that you said it's only a House resolution and it's not going through the other body because they're under control of a different control. And I just wanted to point out in the defense of the group of folks who control legislation in this body, in our body, being the majority caucus, I just want to point out that it's a very diverse group of people. There are Republicans, there are Democrats, there are conservative Democrats, there are liberal Republicans. The balance of the majority caucus has everything in it. And if it's such an egregious piece of legislation, I doubt that that group would put such a politically charged and one-sided political message on the floor, because there are so many interests inside that caucus that I've been in it before, and I know that it's very balanced, and you've got people from all different political points of view and all different parties, both different parties. And I would be shocked if something that would be so partisan would even get through the rules chairman and get onto the floor because of so many diverse views within that caucus. So just some unsolicited support for the group that's in charge of the House of Representatives.
May I respond?
Representative Grunberg.
Since I seem to be responding, I feel like a tennis game. And I'm the ball. I was just commenting, this is an unusual situation, because normally a measure like this would be a joint resolution because it's addressed to officers of the federal government. And this is not, it's just a simple House resolution. I probably drew an unwarranted conclusion. I was a little surprised to see it was not a joint resolution. I'll leave it at that. As we said in the funeral business, I got carried away.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that we usually conduct ourselves in our committees with respect for each other and with respect for the person that testifies, and I think we should go on and realize that the person that testified gave their opinion, and we normally don't question them about what they say. We usually listen with respect, and I think that we should follow through and do the same with everyone.
Thank you. I got a comment I'd like to make and put on the record. I think the concept of this being a promise broken, I think that I'm going to predict that, first I'm going to say it's not the first, and next I'm going to predict that we're looking at the tip of the iceberg and things are going to look a lot different. I'm on the Health Commission, as is Linda Hall in the audience, but the financial situation for health care is critical. And I want to tell you that Medicare, there's already been broken promises. There's been a lot of people that have invested in that heavily and anticipated, rightly or wrongly, coverage that is same as TRICARE, costing more and more every year. And there's been a lot of cuts at the federal level tied to Obamacare that frankly are being passed on or anticipated to be passed on to the provider. And if the provider doesn't cover them at some point, we're going to even see more broken promises. And that's just one example. Social Security, of course, doesn't deal with health care, but I don't think there's anybody, I haven't heard anybody in a long time, talking about how wonderful Social Security is and how it's going to be there for everybody. The biggest thing, I think, is the entitlement programs that are out there. As we have made a lot of promises in that area. There's been a lot of cutbacks. Most recently, it wasn't a broken promise, but most recently the inoculation money that was coming to the state that has now dried up. There's getting to be less and less money, and the costs are rising at a rate that is shocking, stunning, and scary. And so when veterans, by the way, I totally support this bill. I served in the Air Guard up here. I am not eligible for health care as a veteran, even though I've got the time in, some of the time was for training. But I fully support the bill, and I fully support the, you know, standing up and saying, you know, this is a promise that needs to be met. It's the only honorable thing to do. I just want to say, put on the record, that I think that this body is going to be faced with a lot of these, potentially anyway, in the future, and not just related to the veterans. So. Anyway, a little plug in Hess today, Hess Committee of Three. We have several that are going to be talking about this topic of health care and the rising costs. And one is from the East Coast, and we have the Department of Admin coming over and Commissioner of Health and Social Services. So this will be an ongoing topic, the cost of health care, I think, today. Any other comments or questions for the sponsor? Okay, let's go to, that isn't where we're at. Well, thank you, Dan, for your testimony. Let's go to Rick Davidge. Rick, are you online, patiently waiting? We are eager for your comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. After that discussion, I don't know where to start. First of all, I want to thank Representative Bob Lynn, dear friend, good Vietnam veteran, for introducing this resolution. I want to recognize Representative Max Bloomberg for his stalwart support of veterans and veterans' interests ever since I've known him, etc. I'm speaking to you as President of Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 904, the largest chapter of Vietnam veterans in the state. I also serve as the National Chairman for Government Affairs for Vietnam Veterans of America and their chief lobbyist in Congress. And as the commissioner, or the chairman of the commission, Municipal Commission on Military Veterans Affairs in Anchorage, we recently had a commission, a group of doctors who came to the commission to tell us quite emotionally that as a community, they were no longer going to be able to provide health care services to TRICARE, because TRICARE now pays less than 21% of the cost of services. That was an extraordinary visit. We didn't solicit it. They came together and came to us and said, look, we've been trying to work this out for some time. We simply cannot afford to do this any longer. I would point out to you that the response to this initiative by the administration has been very bipartisan across the board. I don't know of any member of Congress that I've seen who has come out and said, I support this cut. Both the House and Senate chairs of the respective committees have come out strongly against this reduction. As part of this, one of the things that I do is I serve as chairman of the National Defense and Veterans Affairs Committee for the Alaska Political Republican Party. And there's a platform item in six district meetings. There is an amendment to the party platform that basically says when someone enlists or is commissioned in military service, the benefit package at that time cannot be diminished over the terms of their service. I suspect this will be carried forward through state convention and also to national, and I also know there are people on the in the Democratic Party that are looking at the same idea. One suggestion on the bill, the U.S. Coast Guard is not a member of the Department of Defense. It is an agency of the Department of Homeland Security, and I mentioned to staff that that needs to be corrected, so I should say Department of Defense and Department of Homeland Security. One of the things that we think about when we look at this is the words of our first president, George Washington, who made it very clear to the Continental Congress that the way in which we treat our warriors when they come home will in many ways determine our ability to defend our nation in the future. I work with new veterans and lots of us old veterans, and I can tell you this is a fundamental basic anger that veterans have against their government. The notion that they were promised a certain level of services based on an extraordinary dedication to protect this country and advance the notion of human freedom, only to find after 20 years of service that those benefits are diminished. And that's why we're looking at this. I think both parties are looking at this as a platform issue. that concludes my testimony, Mr. Chairman, if you have any questions.
Thank you, Rick. Yes, we have one from Representative Grunberg.
Yes. Mr. Davidge, thank you for your service. And I'm not just talking about your service in the service, but your service in the Vietnam veterans. And we all appreciate it, not just limiting our thanks from those like the chairman and I who did happen to serve in Vietnam, but for everybody. You said something that is important, Mr. Davidge, through the chair. You said something important that's not in this resolution. And I've prepared a draft of an amendment as a result, and I'm not sure where it would go in the bill, but I'm just going to read it to you to make certain that I heard you correctly and to ascertain whether you would support the following amendment. It's an additional whereas clause. Whereas, a group of Anchorage physicians recently announced that, comma, because TRICARE pays less than 21% of the costs of care for eligible patients, comma, they will no longer serve TRICARE patients. Is that what you said? Is that accurate?
That is a correct reflection of my comment.
Would you
support that?
You would support it. Okay.
Absolutely.
I'll have it duplicated. Thank you very much.
Representative Seaton?
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony and pointing out about the Coast Guard. I presume that the, by the nod of the head, I think that the sponsor is
well,
concerned about that. But I guess my question is, including Homeland Security, does that include more than the Coast Guard? Is that going to be anybody employed? How do we make sure that we target correctly the career military that are part of Homeland Security and not broaden that to non-military Homeland Security personnel?
Mr. Chairman, I think you could do that by simply putting comment to include the U.S. Coast Guard. I think that's clear. We certainly don't want to include TSA.
Thank you. So, Mr. Davidge, your suggestion is that, like in the whereas, the first one there, after the United States Department of Defense and Coast Guard personnel of the Department of Homeland Security, would that be what you would be thinking that would take care of this?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Rick.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I think that would take care of it.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, Rick, I was looking at some of the information that was included in our bill packet, and Defense Secretary Leon Panetta was quoted as saying that some of these fees have not been increased since 1990, and I was wondering, to your knowledge, does that seem accurate to you that they haven't increased the fees in over 20 years?
Mr. Chairman, yes, that's correct.
And so that
you have to keep in mind that cost of service, obviously, as you've been talking about, continues to go up. So the ability to pay has effectively gone down over time with respect to the value. I can't tell you how extraordinary that visit by those physicians was to the commission, and we felt quite helpless. But they genuinely had attempted and put together a work group to find a way they could pull services or something to find a way to continue to serve both military families and retired service members. And they said, we simply just can't do it anymore, and we're putting us out of business.
And if I could follow up just a little bit. So if the overall cost of health care has gone up huge amounts since 1990, and so is that, you think, why they feel they have to raise the fees over 300% so they get caught up?
Mr. Chairman, health care is one of the biggest cost exposures for the Department of Defense, without question, but so is unemployment insurance. A lot of people don't know one of the biggest bills that DOD pays every year is unemployment insurance. The value of TRICARE coverage has consistently over the last 20-some-odd years continued to deteriorate, and the service members and their families are effectively left to accommodate it. My daughter is currently married to a service member in the United States Army, and she just recently spent some time in the hospital, and this is a significant burden on them because they have to come up with the balance of that medical bill as some members said, crappy pay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Rick, I was thinking after the comments about including Homeland Security, who are we including? If we include the terminology Homeland Security along with DOD and the Coast Guard?
Mr. Chairman, I think that the idea would be to include the words the U.S. Coast Guard / Department of Homeland Security. I think that makes it clear that it only applies to the Coast Guard, and that's the only defense agency outside of the Department of Defense. You could say U.S. Department of Defense to include the U.S. Coast Guard.
Thank you. That is a very important conceptual. Thank you. Any other questions for Rick? Anybody? Thank you, Rick, for your testimony. Anybody else in the room who want to talk about this or online? I guess not. I haven't got any message. So we're going to close public testimony, and it's for committee deliberations.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lynn.
I had a question on the on the proposed amendment by Representative Grunberg. You're talking about this thing that happened in Anchorage.
Hold on a little bit. Let's wait. Are you going to propose that amendment? Okay. Would you move? We'll call that amendment number one, and then we'll work on it then. Go ahead,
Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'd like to offer conceptual amendment number one. And I don't know the best place to put this, whereas in the bill, so I'll leave that to staff.
And I'll object if nobody else will, for discussion's sake here. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I ask you to read it because I'm having difficulty. could you read this?
I will read it, but if I could I add another thought to it?
Sure.
And if you'll pay particular attention to the last line there before it says add, where it says they will no longer serve, I would propose a friendly amendment to the amendment that they have determined to no longer serve. And the reason is we don't know exactly what will happen. And we do not even know exactly what the action that was taken. So I think it's by testimony we have, we understand from Mr. Davidge that they've made this decision. But I just would. Anyway, reading it, it's amendment to CH HR 11, State Affairs, whereas a group of Anchorage physicians recently announced that because TRICARE pays less than 20% of the cost.
20 or 21?
21
is what is in the.
He said 21.
We'll confirm that if he's still online. Anyway, pays less than 21% of the costs of health or costs of care benefits.
Mr. Chairman, the 21% is correct, and the statement was less than 21% of the cost of care.
Cost of care. Okay.
Would you like me to read it since my handwriting
Or eligible patients have determined to no longer serve TRICARE patients. Yes, go ahead. Please do.
Okay. Whereas a group of Anchorage physicians recently announced that, comma, because TRICARE pays less than 21% of the costs of care for eligible patients, they will no longer serve TRICARE patients, and I understand that the conceptual, I'm going to say, amendment to the amendment, if that's agreeable, determine that, Representative Keller, yes, that would add between, on the last line, between the words they and will, they have determined that they will no longer serve TRICARE patients.
That's that accurate?
My okay. Opinion. Then I would accept that as a friendly amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Okay. I don't see any objection. Okay.
We're talking about amendment to the amendment.
We're just fixing the amendment now.
I just had a suggestion.
Yeah.
Thanks. What about if it said they will no longer provide medical services for TRICARE patients?
I would think that should be a separate
Representative
amendment.
Grunberg, okay. That'd be a separate amendment.
Yes. Okay.
All right. The reason is because we're talking about whether they will or they have determined to. Representative Lynn.
I'm wondering about this because doesn't this entire amendment speak to a local issue rather than a national issue? The entire resolution speaks about the military in general rather than a situation that's happening apparently in Anchorage. Is this as meaningful at the national level as it is to us here in Alaska?
May I respond, please? I would like to confine our comments at this point to the Keller amendment to the amendment. And then we can get to the Peterson amendment to the amendment.
There was no objection, I don't think, but let's go back and check. Was there any objection to the amendment as read?
No.
Okay, now we're back to the amendment itself, and we're discussing whether or not it should be in there, and I don't remember who objected, but I think I did, so it's still up. Representative Peterson, did you have something else you...
No, I liked what you were going to say.
I was just going to maybe offer an amendment to the amendment.
Okay.
I don't think it's necessary.
No, please do.
You think I should?
Let's press on. We got other bills. If the sponsor wants to
make... It's up to you.
Okay.
Then may I respond to Representative Lynn? I would like to see this included.
Just to make it clear, you're talking about the amendment itself now, right?
Right, because Representative Peterson apparently doesn't want to pursue it. Okay. I would like to put this in because this shows how this is affecting our community. And we are representatives of the state of Alaska. And this is the largest city in Alaska. And I hope we don't just say everything national, but we're sending this to our delegation, for example, and these other folks, and this shows how this is hitting home right here in my hometown. So I hope that we can include this.
President Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would imagine that if we're having physicians in Anchorage that are saying that they're no longer going to see TRICARE patients, that probably is happening in other locations across the United States. I mean, I don't know that for sure. Maybe Mr. Davich knows that, but I would venture to guess that that's the case.
Okay. Any other comments on the amendment?
Yes,
Johansson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a little bit of reservation about this, only because I don't want to endanger the possibility of this resolution getting onto the floor and voted on, because the language in the amendment says, whereas a group of Anchorage physicians... Okay, I don't know what group this is. I have no idea if this is the group of Anchorage physicians who want to make President Obama look bad. Is this the group of Anchorage physicians who want to protect TRICARE? I have no idea what kind of group this is. I don't know if it's a formal group, if it's just a bunch of physicians that got together and came up with a position on this. it makes me a little bit nervous, because if we find out this is a politically charged group, as Representative Gruenberg talked about, that's going to possibly damage the possibility for this to get onto the floor. So if Mr. Davich could explain exactly what group this is, it might give me a little bit more comfort, since it seems this language is coming from his testimony. So I'd be interested in knowing exactly what this group of physicians, because I could get together a group of people in Ketchikan, and we could say all kinds of things. Whatever I want to, I just have to handpick the group. So I'm curious as to what exactly group this is.
Rick, if you're online, we'd like to get your response, but I want to comment first that I think the fact that Representative Gruenberg put it in there and the there is a positive response generally, I think, from the committee is a reflection of your credibility, and we appreciate that. So you should be flattered, I think, that this is happening. So, you know, it's gone this far this easily, but it would give me comfort, too, if you could give us just a little bit more information.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm trying to remember the name of the spokesman. I'm sorry, I don't. There was no indication at all that this was a partisan group. This was doctors who had been serving TRICARE patients and simply came to the point that they realized they simply can't do this anymore financially. I did not detect any partisan interest at all. This was just genuinely a concern by the medical community in Anchorage that says, look, we have a problem financially. We just can't do this anymore. This included surgeons. This included primary physicians, et cetera. So I certainly can go back and call my staff, the municipality, and see if I can get the name of those people. But I would just simply say there was no partisan interest at all at that time. And this was long before this administration recommendation to change the health care program.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate that. With that testimony, I'm going to maintain my objection and see if Representative Johansson has another question for you or a response.
Well, no, not really. I just wanted to point out that I'm based on the nodding from the gentleman over there, Mr. Gruenberg, that maybe he wasn't aware what the group was, but I don't know. I still have general discomfort, but I'm not going to cause any.
I appreciate it. But through the chair, if I may, I was unaware of this testimony until Mr. Davich spoke, but it sounds like it was a significant group. And I am concerned that with this day and age, when people aren't serving Medicare patients anymore, and we're getting into the baby boomers getting up there, that we can't afford to have any group of health care providers unable to serve patients. And so I would hate to have the tail wag the dog here.
Okay. In light of that, Representative Lynn, would you prefer that we vote on the amendment as I would call the prime sponsor of the legislation, or to let it go forward with the amendment, if that was your wish, with the idea that Rick would get back with us, or we'd find out and take it out later?
Well, since this is the only committee of a referral, what would we do, make a committee substitute before we go to the floor?
My suggestion would be that if we're going to put the amendment in, that we go ahead and do it, and then if there's a problem, it'd have to be dealt with either rules or on the floor.
Well, I'm still uncomfortable with it. I guess it's not a big deal. I'm uncomfortable because the entire language, all of where it is, talk about in general the military doing this and doing that, and the government promising this and promising that, but it doesn't say anything about what's happening locally, and I don't know who this group of doctors are or is.
May I respond?
Sure.
Representative Gruenberg.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Vice Chair and everybody else, apparently it was a significant group of doctors, and we can get into getting names and things like that, but the point is, there are a number of doctors who won't serve TRICARE people anymore. Let's not lose sight of the forest here. Let's put it in and get this bill out of here.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Johansson.
Again, I don't have any problem whether this is in or out or whether it moves forward or moves not. I simply don't want to have this moved out of committee and sit in the Rules Committee, and suddenly we find out this language is in there and this group of physicians is not what we might think it is. And we've got many professional groups in Anchorage, in the state, that take stands on issues all the time. They're organizations, they're groups, they have, you know, they send in their official position as physicians or doctors or whatever they are. And this is just kind of a group that, again, I don't know the definition of it, and it does interject a very local issue into a broader resolution, and I don't really know exactly what the deal is. So, I mean, I'm not going to oppose it, but I'm just trying to make sure that the resolution itself doesn't get torpedoed on the way to the floor with information that we're unaware of, and we're making amendments on the fly based on testimony that took place 15, 20 minutes ago, and I try to be a little bit more cautious, but I'm not going to try and slow the bill down. It's the chairman's bill, and whatever he wants to do, I'll support.
In light of the timing that we're at in the session, in light of the time of the day, I'm going to be voting against this amendment, and I'm going to maintain my objection, call for a vote, and get it over with. I think that in light of the fact that the prime sponsor doesn't want the local aspect in there, in light of the fact that it is on the fly and we don't have documentation, you know, I cannot support it. So if you would call the roll.
Representative,
wait a minute.
Oh,
hold on.
No, I'm not going to withdraw the amendment.
Could I make a comment?
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was thinking, what if we generalized this amendment and took out the local option and said that because only 21%.
Representative Peterson, that'd be a different amendment. Yeah, so let's just finish this one, and then if you want to proceed with that, go ahead. Call the roll, please.
Representative Johansson.
No.
Representative P. Wilson, not present. Representative Seaton.
No.
Representative Keller.
No.
Representative Gruenberg.
Yes.
Representative Peterson.
No.
Chair, Representative Lind.
No.
One yay. Five nay.
Okay, so that conceptual amendment fails. Any other amendments to come before the committee?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seaton.
I have an amendment that was distributed, a conceptual amendment.
Two?
If you'd like, yeah, I guess that would be labeled number two. It's on it's conceptual amendment, page one, line 13, inserting after military and U.S. Coast Guard.
I see no objection, so the amendment carries. We previously discussed. Any other amendments to propose for H.R. 11? Representative Seat.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The issue we talked about on page 2, lines 3 and 4, and I would just suggest there's a couple ways we could do it, but if the sponsor would like on line 3 to remove the words "who have" and on line 4 during times of war and on armed conflict, that would take out that problem. I think that we have in the whereases identified, you know, the mortal harm, who are at risk of mortal harm. I think that in the whereases does it, and structurally this no longer then would limit the bill. But so I would offer that as a conceptual amendment, that is on page 2, line 3, removing "who have" and on line 4, during times of war and armed conflict.
And Representative Seaton, if you would read it as it would have sound with those things deleted, and then we'll have it one more time. Read the whole resolve down to that point, anyway.
Be it resolved that the House of Representatives supports providing to military retirees who have kept their oath of office and served the people of the state and the nation the TRICARE program health care benefits that they were promised, et cetera.
Okay. Any objection?
I'll object, just to understand. Didn't quite, if you don't mind.
Representative Johansson, go ahead.
And we're taking "during times of war and armed conflict" out because I didn't track the logic on it. I'm sorry.
think, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Seaton?
Mr. Chairman, the structure is saying that we're supporting providing these to basically only those who have served in time of war and armed conflict. And it wasn't the intent of the sponsor to have that restriction on those military folks, or to even have it ambiguous that he is meaning that only those, and that those people that have sworn their allegiance and served in the military for their time, at which they could have been at risk, as it says in the whereases, at any time because they volunteered to go and to do wherever they're ordered. But just to eliminate that structural question, and it could be done in other ways, but that was the way I came up.
I'll answer your question.
I didn't catch if the sponsor was supportive of the amendment. I'm sorry.
I'm supportive because we mean everybody is certain, because everybody is at risk of going to war, whether you actually get sent there or not.
Thank you. I'll remove my objection.
Okay. So conceptual amendment number 3 passes,
I think you have that.
Okay, so any other comments, discussion on the H.R. 11? The wish of the committee. Representative
C. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move the CS for House Resolution 11, version I, as amended from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Thank you. 11 goes. We'll take a brief at ease while we do the paperwork, and I hand the gavel back to the chair.
Come back to order. First of all, I'd like to thank Vice Chair Keller for running through the last meeting, and I appreciate the action of the committee. Next on the agenda is the CS for House Bill 219. I have a note here. We need to adopt version D.
Mr. Chair, I move that we put version D ahead of us for discussion.
Any objection? Okay, we're working on version D. The Vice Chair, I believe, conducted the hearing last time, so I'm not totally familiar with this, but would you please run through quickly, very briefly, what the bill is and what the CS does to change it from the original bill?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Michael Pascal, Officer Representative Eric Feige. Again, I need to disclose that Representative Feige is the Chief of the Chickaloon Volunteer Fire Department, and that I am Assistant Chief and Board Member of the Rural Deltano Volunteer Fire Department. House Bill 219 provides a mechanism to allow fire and emergency services organizations to receive donations or support from community members, and if they are an organization that charges for services that they provide, they can in turn discount those services for those people that contribute to the organization. And the issue surrounding this is that it has been deemed that activity is insurance, and so the purpose of the bill is to remove the regulation of that activity from the state insurance laws. During the last hearing, there was a request to make a couple of changes to the bill. We did that in the form of a CS, which you have adopted, and those changes you will find on line 5 and 10 in both sections of the wording. The word voluntary was added before agreement, and then on lines 8 and 13, we added the phrase in the community. So those were the changes that were requested by the committee and were added to the bill. There was one other question, I believe, that was asked last time concerning the Municipal League. I did speak to the Municipal League, and they really have not watched or followed the bill, didn't have any expressed opinion on that whatsoever. It was not high on their priority list in terms of the bill itself.
Okay, thank you. Is there any questions, sponsors, representative from the committee? If not, Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to let the committee know that we've contacted Anchor Point Fire Station, Bear Creek, Central Emergency Services, Kachemak Emergency Services, Seward, Homer, and Moose Pass, you know, and all of them express no problems with this bill at all and generally support it.
Okay. Anybody else? Representative Keller.
No, unless there's more discussion, I'm ready to move it.
Great.
It's a good bill, and I really appreciate the fact that the regulation level goes down a little bit. Thank you. I'd like to move CS for House Bill 219. It'll be the state of Arizona version D with accompanying zero fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Okay. Without objection, the bill moves out of committee. Thank you for bringing it forward. The table here someplace. There we go. Our next meeting of this August committee is Thursday, March 22nd. We'll be considering HB 347, use of municipal funds for initiatives, and HCR 28, Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Any further comments or observations for committee? If not, I'd like to thank you for the meeting today, and we are adjourned.